There are three needs in America today in law enforcement: the elimination of politics from law enforcement, emphasis on efficiency, and cooperation between police agencies. We should all be concerned with but one goal: the eradication of crime. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is as close to you as your nearest telephone. It seeks to be your protector in all matters within its jurisdiction. It belongs to you.
That means, gangsters, you can't get away with it.
Thomas Paine Podcast, number 11. Yeah, it's that time of the week again. Putting the finishing touches on this thing, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, Wednesday, early Wednesday morning. A crazy week. We have breaking news. We have some humor. We have analysis of other breaking news from the weekend and from yesterday. And just a lot of stuff going on, man. It's just, as usual, very busy. Let's not waste any time. Let's rock and roll. Wow, there's so much going on. I know I say that every week, but it's getting to the point where it's like a fever pitch. So we got a lot to do today, so I'm just going to jump in right now and start off on a lighter note. Right out of the gate, I'm on Twitter. I saw right before we started, it's my friend Monica Morales, New York journalist, started out in New York, WABC, kind of coming up at the same time that I was leaving the New York market. She tweeted out, I think she's with WPIX now, but anyway, in New York, but she tweeted out, day two, no running water. She's got a video of residents in Harlem taking drinking water from a fire hydrant. She says hundreds of families in three buildings still don't have running water at the Taft House in East Harlem. Water main break caused 9 buildings, 3,000 people to lose water service. Day two, no running water. So the funny thing is, this idiot who works for the New York Times on the New York Times editorial board, and for people who don't know, that's like the highest when you work at an editorial board at a newspaper, that's like one of the highest honors in journalism. Mara Gay tweets, but make America, she retweets Monica Morales' tweet with the video, and she says, and this dope from the New York Times says, but make America great again, right? Does this jackass know who runs New York City and New York State? De Blasio, Cuomo, what does that have to do with make America great again? Their motto should be make New York City a shithole again. That would be probably not a very popular tourist jingle, but New York Times editorial board. Where do they find these freaks? Mara Gay. Ooh, she has a blue check mark. You better watch out. Democrats, liberal maniacs are ruining that city. Miss or Mrs. Gay. Not conservatives. I won't even go to New York anymore. I got buddies in New York. They always want to go. Let's go to New York. Go drinking. The DEA buddy. I guess I can't say too much about it, but he wanted me to come up and see this new intel center they had. I think it's like a secret, so I can't say too much about it. I'm like, I'm not coming up there. Number one, every time I go to the fucking city, I get a parking ticket for $100, no matter what. It's like $100, $125. Dude, you parked in the wrong spot. You parked on the street. You didn't feed the meter. They have like these winged monkeys who come flying down if you're 15 minutes, like, you know, late, putting a nickel in the goddamn thing. These winged monkeys come out of trees and slap a ticket on your car. I'm like, you know, I used to ignore them when I was living in New York City in 34th Precinct up in Spanish Harlem. I used to get like three or four tickets a day. Be like, fuck this. I like throw them in, throw them in the backseat or something. And then you come out and they got the boot on your car, or in my car, they just towed it. And I had to go to this like ghetto to get it out. I mean, the 34th Precinct up there in Spanish Harlem is pretty gritty to begin with. I was up there for 2 years, and that's pretty gritty. But then you go to like get the car out, and it's like you're a stunt double in Serpico. You know what I mean? It's really bad. And they're like, yo, dude, you owe like $1,600 in parking tickets. I'm like, the car's worth $300. Keep the car. I'll go buy another car for $1,600. Are you insane? Because you parked on the wrong side of the street one day, and the other day you didn't move the car. And there's, oh, it's alternate side of the street. Fuck out of here. At least you could go to the city then. Now you can't even go to the city. You know? Thanks to these guys. So, yeah, I don't go to the city anymore. And a lot of opportunities to go up there. And we used to have a lot of fun up there. I saw it again. Trump texted late Tuesday. Trump put a tweet out that said his dismay at the handling of the Roger Stone case and the way the DOJ behaves and the rigged jury pool and the jury foreman and the judge. Sad, said something like that. I texted to him, hey, just a reminder, this is your DOJ and your attorney general. Just a reminder. Just thought I'd put that out there. I equally get a kick out of these establishment journalists on the right, guys like Brit Hume, that whole crowd that's like 6 months to a year behind the news curve. We've been writing about FBI and DOJ corruption almost three and a half years now since we started this thing. And then these guys come along and say, ooh, unbelievable the way that Roger Stone has been treated so shabbily by the Justice Department. There's really seems to be two tiers of justice in this country. So crass. The fuck is the matter with you people? Where have you been? This is the cocktail party circuit. They're not really allowed to criticize anybody because they go hang out with all these people when the cameras are off. Is it just me or does the Roger Stone case seem like something is amiss? I don't want to go out on a limb here, but it seems that the Justice Department and the FBI seems like there's something quite not right. You know, when the hired help starts complaining about the Justice Department and the FBI, you know something's wrong. Last night after we had Lobster Thermidor, the man who waxes our cars was complaining about the was complaining about the FBI. That's when I knew something was, I said to Lovey, something is way off, dear. We must turn on the television to get caught up on what's happening in Washington. It's pure outrage. It's outrageous. Who are these people, man? This is the same DOJ. You know, these people are like,
I have total faith in William Barr. He's been an astute bureaucrat and sentinel and patriot for decades. We trust him.
And then, like a day later,
Roger Stone and Michael Flynn are being treated so shabbily. This is an outrage. I demand satisfaction.
It's like, yo, dude, maybe your lobster bib's too tight. Because the bar guy who runs the DOJ, he has the say over these cases. He can make them go away. He can make them disappear. He can make them, he can reform the cases. So don't choke on your little fork. Don't choke on the little lobster fork there, pal. When you come to the realization that you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, this is like the establishment media. These folks are not very bright. These are the guys at the TV stations and the big publications put in front of you on a regular basis, nonstop, and that's how you formulate your opinions, listening to these idiots who have no idea. Like, they, when they get a taste of what's really going on in Main Street, they're like,
oh, this is real. It just seems preposterous. Is it just me? Or was Roger Stone treated shabby? Who is this Paul Manafort? And who exactly is this Manafort chap? I saw his trial on the news when the FBI brought out a $15,000 ostrich jacket. I said, oh my God, I must have that. $15,000, I wouldn't pay a dime over $10,000 on Rodeo. Unless it was a free-range bird.
Free-range ostrich.
Luffy, you absolutely must invite this Manafort chap to a summer house.
This is who we're dealing with, okay? Really? That's what it's like? That? And then when they figure out what's going on, they're like, wow, this is really bad. Except you're 2 years late, 3 years late. Where you people been? Okay, quickly, plugs. You can find us at truepundit.com, our news on truepundit.com. I'm on Twitter at Thomas1774Payne. We're on Twitter at True_Pundit. Also, you can shop libertyoutfitters.co. Get all kind of cool sweatshirts there, hoodies, t-shirts, hats, patriot wear, etc. Check out libertyoutfitters.co. That benefits us as well. Also, another way to support us is to, if you want to see more shows and you want to see me talking about politics more on a video show, TV type show, I'm prepping for my TV career. We're negotiating. Patreon.com/truepundit. It's another way you can support us and check out everything I have to say about politics. I did a little bonus edition on Sunday of the podcast to put out the full interview with FBI veteran Robin Gritz. On that, I talked about breaking news from the weekend. Department of Homeland Security whistleblower, very critical of the Obama administration and how they were covering up Islamic, radical Islamic terrorists floating around in the United States. Phil Haney found shot and killed over the weekend, late Friday in California. Why is it always the whistleblowers that end up dead? And the scumbags just end up getting richer and skirting the law. You notice that? I started jotting down a few notes for today's show. I usually don't do that, but I just said, you know, just jot down a little on the back of a envelope here. I think this is my like electricity bill, which was ridiculous, just like every other bill. Guys like me and these bills keep getting bigger for no apparent reason. I mean, with my electricity bill, the cops probably think I'm running some kind of marijuana operation here with the lights and everything, like some kind of a hydroponic weed farm. I don't understand. It's just like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, that's my life. The bills keep getting larger and the money keeps getting smaller. Welcome to America. Welcome to middle class America. Up, quote unquote, upper middle class. I don't even know what I am anymore. I'm saying recovering, recovering indicted class trying to put your fucking life back together with duct tape, gorilla glue, and a dream after the FBI tries to put you in jail for 5 years. Yeah. Good luck coming back from that and trying to be a hero. Probably take the rest of my life. Anyway, Haney, and at least I'm not Phil Haney. I'm still here. But mark my words, I have no plans to commit suicide. If I was going to do that, I've talked about it before. I talked about it in my book. It would have been during this whole fiasco with the feds. Well, they take you to that point. In the interview we had with Robin Gritch, she actually talks about that, where the feds take you to a point, whistleblowers, FBI whistleblowers, your own FBI, their own FBI, takes them to a point where they want to just kill themselves. And they do that when they come after you, whether it's outside the FBI or inside the FBI, it's chaos. I'm convinced they want you to walk out on a ledge and take a leap. For future reference, I don't have any plans or any thoughts along that line about hurting myself or killing myself. I'm on the rebound. And the way I see it is I'm playing with house money. Like, I came back from the dead already. This is like The Walking Dead. I'm like one of these dudes you just can't kill. Right? They came after me, and now I get to come after them. So I'm playing with, like, house money. And I'm happy to a certain extent. Yeah, we could be doing better financially and things like that. But for right now, the challenges our country faces, the crossroads we're at as a country, I'm happy to contribute my skills and my talents to, as a journalist and now as a broadcaster, to try to wake more people up. So I'm happy. Okay? So I don't really have any, you know, and I think Phil Haney was in the same spot. And we'll get to that in a minute. Guys found gunshot to the chest, pulled over in his car, side of the road in California, Northern California. Now, all these crazy rumors started spreading Saturday that he was gunned down in San Francisco and he was found in the woods and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, these people on Twitter, I don't know, maybe I'm different, but situations like this, there's a family at the other end of this story. So God forbid if something ever happened to me, I wouldn't want my family trying to get information about it on the fucking internet. And all these rumors are spreading about this guy. And I'm saying, you know, and I didn't know Phil Haney. I mean, I knew of him through friends and stuff like that, but I never talked to him. I planned on talking to him at some point, but I just got started in this like a month ago, 2 months ago. So I'm like a rookie. But I think this guy's a federal agent, blew the whistle on Homeland Security and how they turn the other cheek to what's really going on. He wrote a book, ironically entitled See Something, Say Nothing. And he would have been better off if he did that. I think most whistleblowers, when they're going through it, understand that that's probably sage advice. But there's something in, you know, I talked about it. There's something inside a whistleblower's DNA where they just can't do it. They can't keep their mouth shut. Can't do it. They have to blow the whistle. It's hard to explain. It's just the fabric of who they are. They can't let these things slide. And they know that there's inherent risks in blowing the whistle, but they do it anyway. And you know what? And I have even said, they know that deep down, nobody really fucking cares. I mean, when the chips are down, the people in Congress talk a good game. Even the folks in the White House, they always talk a good game. They don't fucking care. You get to Washington, all you really cared about is getting reelected if you're in a position. It's a lonely business, whistleblowing. And you accept that when you take it on. So all these rumors are flying around. I pick up the phone. I say, hey, I'm going to call somebody in the family. Now, I don't usually call people family situations like that. It's not my bag. But former federal agent. And I want to find out what happened. Like, firsthand. That's what you're supposed to do as a journalist. I get a stepmom on the phone. She's like in her 80s. She's all downtrodden. She's upset about two things. One, this is like Saturday. I got to get my ass going on Saturday, right? With everything else you have going on a Saturday. I got to take off the hat of being a dad, being a husband, and all that stuff. Need to put the hat of the professional journalist back on and say, all right, well, let's go to work and see what we can find. I get her on the phone. Of course, she's upset about the death of Phil, but she's also equally upset about these crazy rumors that are flying around the internet about the death. And she made the point of, hey, the police haven't even told us that much. So how do these other people know what's going on? It doesn't make any sense. And of course it doesn't, because, you know, there are news organizations that will publish news stories based on other people's tweets, unverified tweets. It's just an organized way of spreading shit. It's like spreading manure around a field. And... and then people come and they click and like, ooh, this happened, that happened. And it's just a way to generate money and revenue. It has nothing to do with the truth. It has nothing to do with accuracy. It has nothing to do with reporting the news. It's kind of like an organized rumor mill. And I've never been a fan of it. But anyway, this is like early... this is early Saturday. It's in the morning, West Coast time. And we're talking about what happened. Just very casually, you know. And I ask her, well, with Phil's history with the government and Homeland Security, do you think he killed himself? You think he would have killed himself? Now, she knows, and I know, this is probably where this story is headed, because without hesitation, she said, well, you know, we've already discussed it in the family, and no. Seriously doubt that that's a possibility. Now, suicide wasn't even on the table in the news. Didn't come on the table for another 8 or 10 hours. But I asked her anyway, because that's where the story is going to go. When you've been doing this a long time and you understand the landscape, I figure that's where the story is going to go. And I think it's, even though it's a hard question to ask a family member, it's a legitimate question. And you have to be able to ask the hard questions. Even if, you know, at the other end of the phone, you hear, they hang up on you. That's the risk you take. You know, for me, I've been fortunate where I can open up a pretty good rapport with people and have them feel at ease pretty quickly, because I just very conversational, like folksy. I'm not like, hello, my name is Mike. I am from True Pundit. I would like some comment from you on your deceased relative. It's very unfortunate. Some of these guys are like droids. Anyhow, she says there's no way. There's no way that happened. There's no way. He was working on a new book. He was enjoying doing talk radio. Doesn't make any sense why he would shoot himself in the chest. He had just recently moved back to California. His wife had passed away about a year earlier. And she liked that part of Northern California. And so he came back to it from the Virginia area. And he was working on his book there, and he was very content, according to the stepmom. Now, the stepmom was married to his father. And his father passed away about a year ago, too, a year and a half ago, too. She's telling me all this. This is firsthand information. This is what you have to get as a journalist. You got to get away from those fucking tweets by these idiots. My God. What is going on with these people? I don't get it, man. You know, if you don't have firsthand or some good information, just sit tight until you get some. Then you can tweet it out. There's a family at the other end of these stories, man. When we had the information on South Cincinnati, the FBI agent killed himself. I waited 4 days until they buried him. Until the family put him to rest. Because I knew that this story was going to be a pain in the ass to the family. Right? Let's wait until he's put to rest, at least. Give the family some time. People gave me a hard time for bringing up the suicide thing after we put the story out, but sure as shit, a few hours later, 8 hours later, police said, oh, it was a suicide. So, voila. And I talked about it on this brief last podcast we did on Sunday. We rolled out the extra Robin Gritz interview. So I know what I'm doing when I talk to people. So give me a fucking break with all the criticism. A bunch of fucking morons out here on Twitter and everywhere else thinking that they're goddamn journalists. Getting goddamn tired of these people, man. Frauds. Sideshow frauds. Okay, so let's just talk about family says no suicide. Cops say suicide. How many people do you know commit suicide by shooting themselves in the chest? The folks at Amador County Sheriff's Office put out a statement saying it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Okay, so to me, that's a suicide. So now they're saying today, Tuesday, late Tuesday, the coroner for the Amador County Sheriff's Office, I'm reading from a True Pundit story, in California on Monday, criticized the spread of misinformation surrounding the death of Obama-era whistleblower Philip Haney, saying it's extremely premature and inappropriate to deem it a suicide. No fucking shit. Why did you say it was a suicide then? Getting back to my original point, who shoots themselves in the chest? Talk to anybody in forensics, okay? Single gunshot wound to the chest as a suicide manner. Very, very rare. Very rare. I was reading a study about this exact thing. I did some research on it. Pathologists say it's very rare. Okay. They like the study, they sampled 67 folks who allegedly died of gunshot wounds to the chest, and they were talking about the type of entrance wound and what side of the chest it was on. 54 out of 67 were on the left side of the chest, and three directions of the internal bullet paths were those most frequently found: downward, right to left, 27 of 67, downward, left to right, 20 of 67, and downward, parallel, 10 of 67. So most of the bullets were directed downward. So let's see what they come out with in California. See, it's interesting. When they announced this, like, a friend over former CIA officer Kevin Shipp, we're going back and forth on Twitter, they're saying this is bullshit. And a lot of people say this is bullshit. Haney wouldn't kill himself, mirroring what the family said. And then the cops said, well, it's self-inflicted gunshot. And now everybody's saying bullshit, doesn't make any sense. And now the cops are saying, whoa, spread of misinformation surrounding the death of Philip Haney. Yeah, you're the fucking dummies who spread it. You put out a statement saying it was self-inflicted. So, okay, so let's just break it down. I like to break stuff down. Folks know that now. Why are these guys the only guys who are being like gunned down all the time or committing suicide? Again, back to the original point. The people who are blowing the whistle are the ones that are ending up taking a dirt nap. And the people that they're blowing the whistle on, the rich and famous, the beautiful people, as I call them, are the ones sitting back and laughing. There's no indictment. There's no trials. There's no, some folks say, there's going to be tribunals. What are you people smoking? Tribunals. What's next? The Knight Templars are going to show up? Who's writing your shit, man? They're crazy. Goes back to what I'm saying, though. Whistleblowers getting gunned down. Real whistleblowers. There's a lot of fake whistleblowers out on the internet and out on Twitter and social media. Like, ooh, this FBI hassled me. Really? Really? You really look at their stories, they don't add up. I wouldn't put anything beyond these deep state goons to pepper social media with fake whistleblowers to drop misinformation. They can become the new cause celeb. The whistleblower du jour, they can become, and oh yeah, these guys got, I mean, you look at their story, it's like, right, it doesn't add up. You weren't put through the ringer. Stories don't add up. That's an interesting development in the Haney situation. We'll see what this Amador County Sheriff does north of California. And if he gets his head out of his ass. Somebody probably told him, hey, dopey, people don't shoot themselves in the chest to kill themselves. Number one, it's haphazard way of doing it. If you shoot yourself in the sternum and you miss your heart, you have to bleed out. Who the hell wants to die like that? You don't die instantly. You're probably paralyzed if it goes through and strikes your spine or something like that. But if you miss your aorta or you miss the heart, you're going to sit there and bleed out? Who wants to die like that? If you're going to kill yourself, right? Stupid. Somebody probably told this dopey sheriff, hey, I looked up the sheriff. The guy's like, grandfather was a sheriff and his father was a sheriff. His grandfather was a sheriff. And you know what I mean? These guys were like rolling with fucking Wyatt Earp. So maybe somebody said, hey, slow down there. Slow down there, Marshall Dillon. This isn't Dodge City. There's certain things called facts and forensics you might want to check on. That's how fragile our system of justice is. It's can be turned around in a 180 degree by social media and outrage. People are saying, hey, this doesn't make any sense. You want to take another look at it. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. He did. He might not have killed himself. We're looking at this. Your statement said that the guy had a gun. They found him with a gun in his car and shot himself in the chest. What the fuck is the matter with you people? Misinformation comes from you. Yeah, like a couple of these dopes, former cop guys who turned journalists who were complete cement heads, deleting their comments about their reports on the Haney shooting, you know? Oh, there's been like misinformation, so we're deleting our tweets that we reported breaking news on from our quote-unquote sources. That you probably fucking found at the bottom of a Captain Crunch box with your decoder ring. I don't delete shit. I put something out, it fucking stays. We put out a story, it stays. I put out a tweet, it's fucking gospel. That's called journalism. Whatever the fuck you guys are doing, I don't know what it's called. Okay? Go out back in your house, get some hammer and nails, make your kids a fucking treehouse, and go hang out in the treehouse if you want to play fucking treehouse. I'm out here playing real journalism. You guys are playing treehouse bullshit. I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing. Deleting shit. Too much conflicting information. Jesus Christ, what a bunch of goddamn rookies. Imagine if you're this guy's family, Haney's family, like his stepmom I talked to, and you're reading this stuff. And then you go back to say, oh, I wonder what this guy said now. You know, the story is a couple hours later. Oh, he deleted everything. Why would he say those things and then delete them? That's strange. Who is this clown? I mean, this is what you're dealing with, right? And then, like I said, you have a family at the other end of the situation who are scratching their heads saying, the circus is in town on social media. And unfortunately, our family member is one of the acts now. Stay tuned to True Pundit. We'll tell you what's going on, then we won't delete our stuff later. Unbelievable, really. How are you supposed to compete when the playing field is soiled with fucking zombies and morons? I don't even... It's frustrating. Log on one day to True Pundit. There might just be a note for me saying, tried to tell you guys the truth. No one wanted to listen. So I'm doing something different now. Trying to dig myself out of the financial hole I put myself in. I mean, seriously. I've gotten all these recent offers for people to advertise on the podcast since it's been doing really well and pulling great numbers in. So I've been screening these ads. I came across one that I actually like. But one advertiser came along. They're called BetterHelp. And they're at betterhelp.com. And these guys do counseling. Like online counseling. It's actually a great idea, really, think about it. I know a lot of guys, I don't have time for counseling. It's not convenient. How do I even find a counselor? What's going on? But BetterHelp online counseling is there for you pretty much whenever you need it. And what's more convenient than that? You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. That's pretty convenient. And you can get help on your own time and at your own pace. When I was going through my problems with the FBI and Department of Justice, man, I could use this place. And that's one of the reasons why I was happy to discuss with them how I could get behind a product that I believe in. This is really a pretty good idea. I wish I had it back a number of years ago when I was having my problems and my struggles. And I came out of it. Some people don't come back from trouble, from depression. You got sleeping problems. I had sleeping problems. And anger and whether it's grief or family conflicts. But BetterHelp.com, these guys do counseling online. And you want to talk about if a counselor is there for you. You could connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. What's more convenient than that? Text, chat, phone, video. It's pretty damn sweet if you ask me. I mean, And I check these guys out, right? Because I don't want to be giving people a bum steer, especially if the numbers keep going the way they're going. I want to give people some kind of quality, right? And we're talking about and we're going to be talking about opioids, and the show I have planned for that, and opioid addiction, and yeah, you can't even imagine how this all dovetails together. But this is a great thing here, because this is something folks can use and many folks need. I mean, hey, I talked about it, like the FBI basically terrorized my family. I have a son with anxiety, and I have a son, he has anxiety and depression, and what it did to him, and he was in therapy. Best of all, it's pretty affordable. I mean, compared to what we've been paying, this is a steal. Thomas Paine podcast listeners can get 10% off your first month with the discount code Paine, PAINE. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/Paine. You do that so you get your 10% off. You simply fill out a questionnaire. to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/pain. I like this thing. I like this betterhelp.com/pain. Other news this week, Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein goes down in a ball of flames. Weinstein. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to have a little fun. I type in Weinstein Clinton into my database, my True Pundit database, and we see what kind of stories pop up here. Just looking at headlines. Right? Recurring theme, you may notice. The Clintons being hooked up into all of this bullshit all the time. Let's just run down headline. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. We have a couple things going on here today for sure. But, you know, I just want to shoot the shit today and clear up some of this stuff because there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's interesting when you draw, when you connect the dots with these guys. Now, let's keep in the background that Philip Haney, right? He blows the whistle on these guys. Loses his job. Tries to put some pieces together. Writes a book, is doing some talk radio, doing some podcasts and things like that. Trying to put some pieces together, get the word out. It's not an easy road. Not an easy road as a whistleblower. So keep in mind when we're talking about all this stuff, we're going to talk about Epstein, we're going to talk about Weinstein, and we're going to talk about Nygaard, and we're a new, quote-unquote, new subject, Nygaard, and then we're going to talk about Clinton again, break some news, we're going to break some news, and some other things having to do with the economy, but can't get this anywhere else, this type of intel. Okay, so just let me run down some of these headlines that we've done stories on. Just Weinstein, he goes down on a rape conviction yesterday. What a surprise. Hillary Clinton pleads ignorance about Harvey Weinstein despite multiple warnings. Media protected Clinton pals Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein victim takes aim at Hillary Clinton. Quote, I guess predators are her style, unquote. Pharaoh, colon, Weinstein leveraged Clinton connections to kill sexual harassment story. NYPD ready to arrest Harvey Weinstein if Clinton puppet Manhattan DA grows some balls, quote. Ronan Farrow, colon, Hillary Clinton wouldn't do interview when she found out I was investigating Harvey Weinstein. Clinton payroll, question mark, Manhattan district attorney who didn't prosecute Weinstein to be investigated. Longtime Clinton friend told top-level Dem operatives not to fundraise with Weinstein. These are all headlines in the last year. From us. Longtime Clinton friend admits warning top-level Democrats about Weinstein. Quote, your bad friend, unquote, Harvey Weinstein sent gushing emails to Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton. Clinton Foundation to keep Weinstein's $250,000 donation. Harvey Weinstein helped pay Bill Clinton's legal bills during Monica Lewinsky era. Chelsea and Bill Clinton duck questions about Weinstein donations. Former Clinton spokesman tells Anthony Bourdain to eat a scorpion for suggesting Hillary knew about Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein would deliver movies straight to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton says she can't know exactly how much money she got from Harvey Weinstein. Flashback, Weinstein was a donor to Bill Clinton's legal defense fund and sex assault case. And there's another 100 of these. 45, 50, 60, there's like 70 more stories I could sit here and read. This is just stuff we've done. Okay? Clinton's, again, linked into this stuff. NYPD, FBI knew about this fucking guy for decades. They did nothing. Nothing. He got off the hook. Let's do the same thing just for the hell of it. Meanwhile, Haney is dead. Okay? Talk about fucked up justice. Epstein Clinton. I'll put the same thing in here. Epstein Clinton. Let's just run down some headlines. Epstein. This is fun. In a sick, twisted way. Bill and Hillary Clinton were regular guests at pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's bizarre cowboy-themed village. New photos of Clinton with alleged sex slave Epstein Madam on Lolita Express emerge. New connections emerge between the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein. Investigative journalist, : why is Bill Clinton escaping scrutiny in Jeffrey Epstein's case? Epstein boasted to Teen Model that Bill Clinton was his best friend, according to a lawsuit. These are all headlines again. Epstein accuser says she once took Bill Clinton's seat on a private jet. Saw a bedroom floor made of mattress foam. That's always fun. Juanita Broderick urges ABC's Amy Robach to release Epstein-Clinton reporting. Okay. ABC News' Epstein cover-up echoes Newsweek's cover-up of Bill Clinton's Oval Office extracurricular activities. ABC News' spiking of Epstein's story draws scrutiny toward Clinton ally George Snuffleupagus. Stephanopoulos. Media protected Clinton pals Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein. Clinton insider who predicted Epstein's prison death offers grim news for mega dem donor, Ed Buck. Jeffrey Epstein was proud owner of the strange portrait, blah, 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 blah. Trump predicted in 2015 Bill Clinton would have a lot of problems, quote, due to his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Report, Bill Clinton had contact with Epstein far earlier than he said in statement. Here's the proof. Jeffrey Epstein visited Bill Clinton in the White House multiple times in early 90s. Jeffrey Epstein's alleged madame was reportedly close to Bill Clinton. What is it with madame? She's a pimp. She's a lady pimp. Madame. What the hell is this? 16th century England? It's a fucking pimp. Call her a pimp. We call her a pimp. When I do a story, I call her a lady pimp. Go ahead and sue me. Fucking luck. There's another 120 stories like this. 120 more stories in our database. If you just search Epstein and Clinton. It's insane. What happened with this guy? Let off the hook how many times by the FBI? The U.S. Attorney's Office, NYPD, time and time and time again, let off the hook. Why? Weinstein let off the hook. Epstein let off the hook. This is very interesting stuff. It's all breaking. Now, let's go to something today. We had something today. Very interesting story breaking. That dovetails into this stuff. Oh, yeah, by the way, Harvey Weinstein was taken to the hospital with chest pains last night so he could get out of jail. Today, FBI raids fashion executive Peter Nygaard in sex trafficking pedophilia investigation. I'm not even going to tell you the scary part about it. Federal agents in New York police detectives raided the Manhattan headquarters of the fashion company run by a Canadian fashion executive. This is in Manhattan. Seeking evidence in a sex trafficking investigation, law enforcement sources said. This is in the New York Times. and some other places. Peter Nygaard, okay, 78-year-old Nygaard, has been under investigation for at least 5 months by a joint child exploitation task force overseen by Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office, the feds. According to a report, at least four women have accused Nygaard in a lawsuit of sexually assaulting them when they were 14 or 15. It's not according to a fucking report. It's according to the goddamn lawsuit. What's the matter with these journalists? That's how bad it is. People have to sue guys like this, Nygaard, in civil court because the feds won't do anything. And then the feds say, oh, yeah, well, you know what? They put this in a lawsuit, so I guess they're serious about the allegations. They're like dopes. Here's what I mean. Nine women in Canada and California, mostly employees, have sued him or reported him to authorities alleging sexual harassment or assault since 1980. That's a fucking tip of the iceberg. If nine people have sued, times it by 10 of actual victims, because very few actually ever come forward. So you have to, you know, put it in the sexual exploitation child trafficking calculator and do your math that way. That's insane. In addition, another nine former employees told the Times in interviews that he raped them, touched them inappropriately, or proposed sex. Okay, now here's the kicker, okay? Nygaard. They raid his place in New York City, Times Square, off Times Square. Nygaard was also investigated in 2015 and the summer of 2017 on sex trafficking allegations. He was also probed by the Department of Homeland Security, which investigated him for 9 months with no result. What the fuck is going on here? This is during Comey. This is during Comey's reign. Now, Ray comes in late summer 2017, so you put it on him too. This is Comey and Ray, okay? This is Jeff Sessions and Eric Holder, it's DOJ. You have all these women coming forward. This is the same thing that happened with Epstein. Same thing. They turn the other cheek. They let this guy get off. What does this Nygaard have on people? How many times do you have to investigate somebody before you can put a fucking nail in their coffin? If they're investigating me, they'll kick in the door for hockey tapes, drag my ass away, beat me down in front of my kids. These crazed alleged perverts like Nygaard. Dude's walking around laughing. Are you kidding me? He's got three previous investigations. Nothing happened. He's got a host of women saying the guy's a maniac. Is this guy even a U.S. citizen? The fuck is going on here? How many more Epsteins do we need? Saw a comment today. I don't really lately read a lot of comments on Twitter because I am spending less and less time at the gates of hell. Chad Edwards. Have the feds been blackmailing in response to the Nygaard story? Chad Edwards. Have the feds been blackmailing pedophiles in exchange for letting them run free? They sure don't have a history of prosecuting rich pedos. Protection racket. What happens when the feds lean on these guys? Epstein, Nygaard, Weinstein. What happens when the feds lean on these guys and they give up information on the people that are pulling the puppet strings in the NYPD, the people who are pulling the puppet strings in the FBI, the DOJ? What happens when the feds come marching into the Jussie Smollett case and find out that, oh, what's he doing talking to Kamala Harris on the cell phone? We got to cover that shit up. She's a senator, United States senator. protection racket. You understand what's going on here? So Chad Edwards, if you're out there listening, you've become a valuable pupil to my ongoing crime class in crime school and exploration of criminal government cartels that I've been laying out on a weekly basis. The only reason you let somebody like this off the hook after multiple investigations, two basic reasons in my book. One, they're giving you actionable intelligence that you're using for something else, leverage that you're using for something else. It could be using it legally or illicitly behind the scenes, one or the other. Or two, you've been told to stand down by somebody above you. And somebody above them is saying, hands off this guy. So that's what's going on a regular basis. I've said that these guys exchange information, trade information all the time. That when they're investigating these high-profile guys, it's not necessarily to bring them to an indictment. It's to secure more dirt where more deals can be cut behind the scenes. This is corruption 101. Information is a commodity here, folks. Dirt. Information, intelligence. Makes bricks of gold look like a training film, man. Get a lot more money for brokering information than you can anything else in this country, believe me. I was at the other end of it, the selling point of it, for years. I made a lot of money. Not this kind of stuff. This is really deep shit, though, man. This is like, you know, people pay good money for this stuff. Incredible money to either keep it hidden or to get more leverage on an opponent, enemy, political enemy. Not so they can expose it in the press. Exposing it in the press is the last ditch effort. That's like a throwaway. Fuck it. We'll just put it out in the press and embarrass the guy. Maybe try to ruin his career or life. That's the throwaway. That's when all other options have failed. It's the cases that you don't see in the press where people are profiting from behind the scenes, using it as leverage against people to get them to do things that they don't want to do, say things they don't want to say, pay money they don't want to pay. That's the game, folks. And again, let's just run down the list. I made my little list here. Okay. Weinstein, Epstein, Nygaard, all get off the hook. All rich and famous, they get off the hook. And it eventually catches up with some of them, you know what I mean? Weinstein. Maybe he did something they didn't like. He gets thrown to the wolves. He's a sacrifice. Epstein, same thing. You don't actually think the feds are driving this stuff, do you? They cover this up for years. Years. In some cases, decades. So you got Weinstein, you got Nygaard, you got Epstein, and then you got Phil Haney, dead. All these other guys running wild. Epstein's dead now too. Probably like Haney, not at his own hand. The new game in town is the old game in town. It's just new to people who haven't been following the game. Pass off a homicide as a suicide. Right? Remember this interview we did a few weeks ago with Joe Nocio, former Quest CEO? Talking about coming out of the White House, National Security Council chief, whoever he was, Clark, told him he should have personal security because he's, you know, working with the feds and he's a telecom boss, and why doesn't he have personal security? He said anybody can be gunned down at 200 yards away with a rifle. And then he told Nacho, the trick is to make it look like a suicide. This is a guy working in the White House. So the trick is to make it look like a suicide. Vince Foster, Gary Webb, list goes on and on. Maybe Sal Cincinnati and the FBI. It's, this list is growing. It's getting fairly impressive. Phil Haney. Make it look like a suicide. Epstein. Come on, does anybody really think that Epstein killed himself? Give me a break. Protection racket. I get a kick. You know, a lot of guys don't understand the Fed landscape of the federal agents stuff. Secret Service, everybody's like, ooh, Secret Service. They're like, you know, so mysterious. And so, and people hold them up on a pedestal. They're the next guys to topple, these droids. They're always talking a great game. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you know Secret Service agents, there's nobody more full of shit than a Secret Service agent when you're having drinks. I mean, we were out once in New York City, and I don't know where we were, Scores or somewhere, and which is a gentleman's club, as they say, back in the day with a bunch of feds and a couple of Secret Service guys. One was really high strung, and I was like, dude, you got to chill out a little bit. And next thing I know, it's like he was smitten with some stripper from Finland, and, you know, these women in Scores, if you've never been there, they're fairly impressive. It's New York City. You know, this isn't South Hackensack, New Jersey. This is New York City. So she says to him, hey, do you want a bottle of vodka? Because you guys are drinking a lot. And he says, sure, I'll take a whole bottle. So she's like, cool. They brought over a bottle of Absolut. I think they charged him like $350 for the bottle of Absolut. Next thing I know, he's got like a broken beer bottle and he's threatening her. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, we got to get out of here. I'm not taking the fall for these fucking rookies. They can't even handle their own liquor. It's like threatening a stripper from Finland with like a bottle because he felt that he was overcharged for the vodka. What do you think they're going to charge you? Rack rate, like at the liquor store? You're going to pay $17 for a bottle of Absolut? Are you out of your fucking mind? Anyway, these guys, they all talk a great game, Secret Service, but why didn't they say something about these trips Clinton was taking with Epstein on a Lolita Express? They know about this stuff. They know about what Clinton was doing with women. Sexually assaulting women? You don't think they know about this stuff? When are they going to start talking? You guys are all full of shit. You fucking cowards. You heard it from me. Secret Service. Get the fuck out of here. I see these guys online. Some of them have gone on to bigger things. And it's like, hey, whoa. When are you going to start talking about the stuff you know? Like, I'm talking about the stuff I know. Other whistleblowers are talking about the stuff they know. Now, they don't want to go there, man, because they know some shit. And they would rather cash their checks, whether they're in private sector or media or wherever else. You know what I mean? Well, where's the dirt? Like, you saw some stuff. You saw some people being harmed. You took an oath. You just ignored your oath for a paycheck. You're part of the fucking problem. You understand? So put that in your hat and smoke it next time you're doing a podcast. Because there are dudes out here like me that know what's up. Like, you can hide it from a lot of these dummies, but I know what's up. I got good hooks. Interesting side note from some of my former colleagues and contacts at Citigroup. Talking about property values and the real estate. I've been told to keep an eye on real estate correction, a large real estate correction in the next, before the end of 2020. And I said, well, what are you talking about? What kind of real estate correction? Residential home prices, that kind of thing. So I'm telling some of my friends, so I'll tell you guys, I'll put it out there. I'm floating it to keep an eye on it, okay? Some folks I know have kids and are looking to buy homes. Just got married. Just got hitched up with some babe. They're looking to buy a house. Might want to just sit on the sidelines for a little bit, see how it plays out in the next few months. As we learn in Fortune 50 world, when it comes to real estate and finances, you look at the yield curve, you look at a lot of different things. You look for signs of a large correction in the stock market or in real estate, housing market crash. They call it the asset bubble. The hell does that mean? Well, you look at a couple things. You look at rising home prices that jump up rapidly. You look at interest rates. You look at the inverted yield curve. Now, that's interesting. A lot of other things. Changes in the tax code. Derivatives, bank derivatives. Let me just do a quick search here. I'm doing this on the fly, but because this came in late last night, and I touched on it on Twitter, and it set a lot of people off. What do you mean there's going to be a correction? Well, they're saying there could be a correction. Are we on a housing bubble? You say, what the hell do you know about a housing bubble? Well, I did work finance, you know, got a lot of good connections, so I'm passing this information along. Home prices are up. Median home price is up. Median listing price is up. Big problem, though, is this. As of this morning, U.S. Treasury yield curve is the deepest inversion since October. U.S. Treasury yield curve inverted again with a three-month Treasury bills holding a higher yield, 1.56%, than 10-year Treasury notes, 1.46%. All right, what does this mean? Second time the yield curve has inverted in a matter of weeks. Third time in a matter of months. Deepest yield curve since October. Economists and the Fed call the three-month 10-year inversion the best summary measure of economic downturn. And yield curve inversion has preceded every recession of the last 50 years within approximately 6 to 24 months. So this is what has the folks at Citi concerned. They see the yield curve. They see record prices in, they see record prices in median home listing and median sale price. And also record listings for new home sales and new home prices that have jumped up in the last couple of years. That's why they're saying there's potential trouble on the horizon for the real estate market and probably will extend into other markets as well. But if you're looking to buy a house, maybe put the brakes on that. Yeah, you know, I saw last night I poked around a little bit looking at property values. I look at property values in like not urban areas or not urban well-known suburbs, but kind of rural spots. And the values seem out of whack. 20%, 25% higher than they should be, maybe even more. So I don't know, something to keep an eye on. It's not gospel. You know, these guys speculate a lot, but they make a lot of money being right. And historically, when you see the high home prices and high real estate prices on a graph going up and then that yield curve the inverted yield curve, you know, you could be sitting on an asset bubble for sure, and when it breaks, you don't want to be on top of it, you want to be out of it. You have to keep an eye on that stuff. So just thought I'd pass that along. I just want to run down a couple quick things. One, statutes of limitations, something nobody ever talks about in the news. There was spying on the Trump campaign that went on by the DOJ, FBI, and all these schemes that were going on. Started in 2015 through 2016 election. The statute of limitations in this country in the federal level is 5 years for criminal. That means the clock's ticking now on 2015 criminal violations by these schemers in the DOJ, FBI. Barr is running out the clock. Ray is running out the clock. Every day, it's been reported that the criminal activity started in 2015. When you get into 2021, if nobody's been indicted by the election, and it goes into next year, now you're losing steam on criminal violations that happened in 2016. This is how people run out the clock. This is how they ran out the clock on Hillary Clinton's emails. This is how they ran out the clock on Uranium One. If you hear anybody talking about people going to jail for that, they're out of their fucking minds. These people on TV and the internet, these media types, it's not happening. It's over with. Criminal statutes are gone. People talk about RICO and you're insane. These guys can't put together a single count indictment against a public official. You think they're going to put a RICO case together? They can't legally be charged after 5 years. It's very plain. It's very simple. Now keep that in mind. The clock is ticking. When Dopey over at Fox talks about TikTok, this is literally a TikTok. The clock is ticking right now and they're running it out. Potentially the game plan. It doesn't take 5 years to indict people, folks. And it doesn't take three and a half years into a presidency to do it either. Keep that in mind when you hear these morons talking about TikToks and everything else. You literally need a TikTok. The hourglass is turned over, okay? You got a 5-year hourglass that's flipped over and you got about a year and a half left in it, in all honesty. So, TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. As the sand goes through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Remember that? Similarly, I want to drop this on you guys so you just know what's going on. I see these dopes in the news media on the internet too talking about individuals getting pardons. Let me explain pardons to you since presidential pardons to you since nobody else seems to be presenting this to you in an honest manner. The way the statute and the policies are written by the pardon attorney, the U.S. pardon attorney in the U.S. Pardon Office, which is under the umbrella of the Department of Justice, you're not eligible for clemency, pardons, etc., until 5 years after you're sentenced and your sentence is completed. For instance, if you have 6 months in prison for a felony indictment, when you get out of prison and the Bureau of Prison says that you're officially released, the clock starts ticking 5 years. After that time, you are eligible for a pardon and for clemency. If part of your sentence is perhaps not incarceration, but home confinement, house arrest, on the day that your confinement is completed, the clock starts ticking 5 years where you're eligible for a presidential pardon. Things that are not factored into that are probation periods and stuff like that. They don't count that against you, but you have to complete your probation without any problems to be able to be eligible for a pardon. If you go back in history and look at presidential pardons, okay, there are some waivers and there are some exceptions, but it's spelled out pretty well. If you look online, the Justice Department spells it out pretty well. They say it's very, very, very rare that they grant an exception to speed up the 5-year process. The reason they want the 5 years is because they feel that 5 years is a acceptable time frame for you to prove that you are rehabilitated, not getting into trouble, etc. Will they give a pardon before the 5-year period? Maybe, but it is very, very rare. So for the folks out there saying, pardon this guy, pardon that guy, keep that in mind. The media doesn't tell you this. Everything is controlled by justice, and you have to apply for a pardon. They have to investigate it, and then they present the folks who are eligible based on a long list of stringent criteria, also having to do with your finances and a whole bunch of other stuff. They kick that to the president. The president then decides, and his president, chief counsel, and White House counsel and president decide, hey, we can give this individual pardon. Most of these guys that have issues right now, legal issues that were part of Trump's circle, Flynn, Stone, their 5 years is up when Trump's out of office. So unless he does something really special for them and the DOJ rubber stamps it, I mean, that's another consideration. That could happen, but you need to know the landscape before people just start throwing around, pardon this guy, pardon that guy. It's very rare. Not that it can happen. It's just that it doesn't happen. And the Justice Department is fairly emphatic about that. It's very hard to... I think the only real case I can remember of it being waived was when President Ford pardoned President Nixon. That's a president pardoning a former president. So in those circumstances, very rare. We'll see what happens. Keep an eye on that. But you need to know, like, there's not enough people telling you really the way things work. That's how things work. Breaking news, folks. My new breaking news jingle. Dateline, Washington, D.C. So I figured we'd end this podcast with a bang and some breaking news. All the stuff we talked about today dovetails into this perfectly. When I talk about a protection racket, the rich and powerful. What happens when the rich and powerful turn on each other? How does the power base in Washington, D.C. handle squabbles or warring factions when the beautiful people are at each other's throats? This is a very telling story and breaking story, by the way, and true story. This will give you a glimpse into the real power base of Washington, D.C. and who's pulling the puppet strings behind the scenes of the Justice Department. During the FBI's investigation of the Clinton Foundation, now we're getting this from our Clinton Foundation folks, sources that have been dead on the money. They come to find out that Bill Gates, one of the richest men in American history, I think he's only eclipsed now by Bezos, is fuming at Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Absolutely fuming. Because he donated millions upon millions upon millions to the Clinton Foundation and was involved with them and promoted them on all these international aid schemes that they cooked up. And Gates purports that he was under the impression that all this stuff was above board and legitimate, and that the Clintons were really out to better the world and out to better their fellow man and use charity to do so. Third world countries, Europe, Africa, New Zealand, all over the place. Gates put a lot of money in the Clinton Foundation and a lot of money into vehicles that donated to the Clinton Foundation, other charities that were pumping the money into the Clinton Foundation. Gates' foundation, this is like charity nightmare, charity war. Gates' foundation was either giving money directly to the Clinton Global Initiative, Clinton Foundation, and all these schemes. They have like a dozen names that they kept changing their names. Gates is pumping millions into this, millions upon millions. I think it's over 200 million. I have to ask like Charles Ortel or somebody like that, because this stuff just broke. Stuff broke late Tuesday night, and I wanted to get it in here at the end, and we'll continue to develop this, but Gates is fuming. He learned he got played, that the money was going back into the Clintons' pockets and not going toward charity, not going towards vaccinations, not going toward HIV vaccinations for third world kids and countries and impoverished children. It was all a scheme. So they took his money in one form or another. They took his money directly, according to Gates. This is coming through the FBI. And again, Gates had given money to other like large charities, and they kicked money into the Clinton Foundation. So they were playing Gates from two different ends. Not only that, they were doing press conferences with him from time to time that, oh, the Gates Foundation and Bill Clinton are working together on this and that and the other thing. So they have like a tripod. Gates doesn't catch on to this until years later. So this went on for years. They played him for years like a fiddle. Not only that, federal sources say that Gates introduced these guys to a lot more new money from new donors. People in his circle, the real ultra rich, the uber rich, said, hey, Gates vouched for these guys. He comes to find out, whole thing's a scheme. They played him. Stole his money like they stole everybody else's money. He's fuming. Word travels down to the FBI, who's investigating Clinton Foundation. This all happened within the last year, by the way. What I'm about to tell you. Now, if you don't think this is intriguing, there's something wrong with you. This is one of the richest guys in the world. And in the country, obviously, who's at war with the Clintons. This is all behind the scenes stuff. FBI gets wind of this. They say, let's go talk to Gates. Maybe we can flip this guy and find out what was really going on. Right? Seems like a good idea. I'd do the same thing if I was an investigator, if I was an agent, and we're putting a case together against these criminals. Let's go talk to Bill Gates. How do you talk to Bill Gates, though? You just don't show up at his house. This isn't Beverly Hills Cop, where like Axel Foley hangs out in front of Victor Maitland's gate and then tails him to the Harrow Club and flips the buffet table, you know what I mean? You have to go through channels to talk to Gates. So this is what we're getting from the feds, okay? So the FBI wants to talk to Gates because they hear he's at like war with these guys and he's fit to be tied because they ripped him off. They seek permission to talk to Gates. Send it up the flagpole to Ray and his group, who then want to reach out to justice and see, hey, is this cool? Should we talk to this guy? Can we talk to this guy? I don't know why they would ask justice. I guess, what the hell do I know? Justice comes back and says, no, don't talk to this guy. There's a delay and they come back. They say, no, not at this time. Don't talk to him. Don't pursue that lead. The FBI guys are saying, what? This is a ripe target. He's angry. He's got millions invested, and he got ripped off. In his mind, he got ripped off, so why wouldn't you talk to him? It's a fantastic person to talk to if you're doing a criminal investigation of a charity. Justice Department says, no, don't pursue him. What? Because we talk about protection racket. The richest man in the country, top two, can't get justice against the Clintons through the Department of Justice and the FBI. You think you're going to get some? When Bill Gates is on a warpath, second richest guy in the country got ripped off, he got played, he got conned by the number one criminal cartel family in the United States. And he can't get somebody to listen to his case against a couple of hillbilly hayseeds from Arkansas, tech giant, pioneer, legend in this country. Can't get the FBI and the DOJ to listen to legitimate intel on his participation, whether he likes it or not, in a criminal enterprise. He's mad because they've compromised on the global scheme, on the global stage, the beautiful people now that all know about this. The Clintons have soiled the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates and his wife's foundation, okay? Who wants to do business with anybody if you think that the FBI is going to come knocking on your door asking why you're doing business with these people, even if you're legitimate and you're connected to a criminal enterprise like the Clintons run? You're bound to be collateral damage, whether you like it or not, whether you got played or not. You know, the feds don't usually care if you got played. There are plenty of innocent people that end up in jail. We're seeing that. That's on display. That's on parade. Most established, most achieved, however you want to put it. They can't even get justice against the Clintons. What kind of dirt do you think these people have on everybody? Who's running the Justice Department? This is outrageous, man. And, you know, the guys we're talking to say the same thing. It's preposterous. It's outrageous that you can't even talk to this guy. The protection that's in place. I mean, these Clintons make Bonnie and Clyde look like Jack and Jill. Bank robbery is the work of amateurs. True criminals establish a charity, and the DOJ protects the vault.